Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Tuesday. It's Brevard County, Florida, and this is the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio Program today. Pray that God will take His Word, apply it to your heart, bring a spirit of joy and strength and encouragement into your life, and that today you won't be looking at your work schedule with dread and regret, but instead you will be looking at it as a glorious opportunity for the kingdom of God to advance and for you to play a part in that. So today we are going to go back to Acts chapter 15. I want to take just a moment and invite you out to our Fire Bible discipleship classes that takes place on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Our goal is to become more grounded in the Word of God and in our relationship with Jesus, because we believe that that is going to produce a great deal of spiritual fruit for the kingdom of God, and it will not be just a season of shifting saints, but instead of people getting saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we would love for you to come out and be a part of what God is doing. So let's go to Acts chapter 15. We're going to begin reading at verse number 13 today. We will read down to verse number 18. And it says in verse 13, "And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works." So yesterday we were dealing with the first part of verse number 15 here. "And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written." It's very important to know the Word of God. That's why we're here. We want the Word of God to become very interwoven into our heart so that we will not sin against God. That's a great thing. The Word of God being implanted in our heart enables us to overpower temptation just the same way that Jesus did, by quoting the Word of God and saying, look, can't do that. Here's the reason why. God said this. And so that's why we need to know the Word of God. I believe it is one of the reasons why the devil fights believers knowing the Word of God to such a great extent. Can I just quit teaching and go to meddling so early of a morning? And I just want to expose a lie of the enemy right now. The enemy would try and tell you that you do not have enough time to study the Word of God. I will tell you that that is not true. We make time for the things that we value. Now, you might have to give up watching a rerun of your favorite television show from the 1990s in order to make time for the Word of God. But make time for the Word of God. There is not a day that goes by that there's not the Word of God going through my mind. It's something that is constantly, whether it's sitting down and studying a passage, whether it's teaching, whether it is preparing for a message or preparing for a radio program, whether it's getting or dealing with people in their situation and saying, what does the Word of God have to say about this? You know, the Word is a non-negotiable foundation. It is settled forever in heaven and on earth. We need to make time for the Word of God. We need to make the Word of God a priority in our life. When my life and the Word of God do not align properly, I don't change the Word to fit my life. I change my life to fit the Word. And that is what James is saying here to these believers from a Pharisaical background who are trying to impose the requirements of the law on these people who have already been saved, already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and signs and wonders are taking place in their midst. All of those things are going wonderfully, and they're saying, wait a minute, you didn't dot this I. If you didn't dot this I, we got a problem. And so James steps up and he quotes Amos chapter 9 here in verse number 16. And it says this, verse number 16 of Acts chapter 15. So Amos 9, 11 and 12 are the verses in the Old Testament. And this is how it reads in the New Testament. After this, I will return. God, through the prophet Amos, is saying, I'm not done yet. I'm going to return. And I'm thankful when God shows up. Now, when I was engaged to be, well, no, I wasn't even engaged to be married at this time. It was while I was dating. My wife took me to the airport. This was before, you could only get through a TSA checkpoint. So this was decades ago, long before 9/11 had happened. And they went to the gate with me, and I said, "This same youth pastor that you see departing will come again in like manner." I was letting them know, look, I'm coming back. So just, be looking for me, cause I'm only going away for Christmas. And so that's what I did. Jesus says he is returning. I don't care how long. I don't even really care when. All I know is he said he's coming back. And I want to be looking for him. I want to be watching for him. I want to be prepared. And I want to be acting in a responsible and obedient manner. I want to be demonstrating the skills that he wants me to demonstrate with the compassion that he has placed in my heart. Because when he comes back, I want him to say, well done. And so people who live their life as if there's never going to be any accountability, that God is never going to come back into their civilization or their society, they need to reread the Word of God. If you have given up on America, read what God did in the Old Testament. There was always times when they were falling away, and God would say, I'm coming again, and I am going to do a miraculous reconciliation with my people. And eventually there would be oppression, there would be bondage, and they would cry out, they would return to God, and God would deliver them. Now, I don't think we need to be repeating that cycle. I think that once he sets us free, we ought to say, you know, Jesus set me free. I am therefore free indeed, and I'm not going back to that mess anymore. So God says, I will return, and I'm coming back with a purpose. He says, I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. Okay, so let me take you back to the book of Amos. It's in the Minor Prophets. So it's after Ezekiel, after Daniel, and then as you're turning there, you'll come to Hosea, and then you'll come to the book of Joel, and then you'll come to the book of Amos, and this is Amos chapter 9. I'm turning in my pages, and in my Bible, it's the last chapter, and it says, "On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing." He says, "I'm going to return and I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down." God doesn't pretend like everything is okay in the house of God. Now, I will tell you, on the eternal scheme of things, everything that we have here is got the time span of a tent. I don't care if it's a skyscraper. I don't care if it's the most fortified structure on the earth. When it's on the timeline of eternity, it is as secure, as fragile as a tent or a tabernacle. One translation says, "I will rebuild the tent of David, which has fallen down." God says, "I know the condition of the house, and I'm gonna deal with that. When I come back, I'm going to deal with the problems." So, several years ago, I asked my congregation, I gave them just a blank card and said, "Okay, two questions. One, what is it that you would like for us to study in this coming year? And second, what is the biggest problem that you are dealing with in your life at that point in time?" And so there can be some spiritual things that we would like to understand better. And historically, I find that the end times is something that intrigues people a lot. And so that's always one of the things that people put down in there. But when it came to problems, people were having physical issues. And, you know, the Bible declares that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to put out there to you today that I believe that God can deal not only with the spiritual things in our life that are not in pristine condition, I believe that he can deal with the physical issues that we live with that rise up against us. I believe that he can do that as well. So I believe that he can rebuild the tabernacle that has fallen down, whether that is a tent, whether it's a house of worship, whether it's your own physical house, or whether it is your physical being. Some people need to rebuild their family because sin has come in and has wreaked devastating effects upon people's lives. Okay? Let me tell you, repentance is a gift from God. And, you know, if you've sinned and wreaked damage upon your household, repent and ask God to forgive you, and then express your regret and ask your family to forgive you. Those are huge steps forward. I knew a family when I was growing up, and never really thought of that particular family too much in the area of their relationship with God. And their family dynamic changed, and that was horrible, but at some point in time, Jesus came onto the scene in that situation and ended up bringing almost every person in that family into a relationship with Jesus. It's amazing what God can do. He is a master builder. He works best when there's new materials. You know, I recommend getting your children and your grandchildren into a relationship with Jesus as early as possible. That is absolutely magnificent and highly recommended. But if there's some sin and some damage that has come in, I will tell you that God is a master, not only builder, but he's also a master rebuilder. And so he will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. So several years ago, decades ago now, we took our boys' ministry, which was doing quite well at the time. We took them to, we have a boys' ministry. It's called Royal Rangers. It's similar to what Boy Scouts used to be like, only with much more emphasis on God. And we took them to this camping event, and so we were all staying in tents, and there was a horrible, horrible storm that blew through that night. And if you talk to my son to this day, he will remember the impact of a tent that he was in falling down. You may have found yourself in a storm where your tent was secure for a normal environment, but then you found yourself in a Category 5 spiritual hurricane, and all of a sudden you found that everything that you thought was secure has been uprooted and pulled out of place. I want to testify to you that I boast today about a person who at one point in time didn't want to hear about God, didn't want to hear about church, ended up losing his job, ended up alone, and God came into the situation and rebuilt that life. And now they're a licensed minister filled with the Holy Ghost. And God has rebuilt that life in a powerful way, so that person impacts people across all sorts of age demographics. That person has been used by God to lead so many people to Jesus. If you're looking at the damage of your life, I want to change your perspective and say, you know what? God's going to rebuild this thing. He's going to rebuild the ruins, and he is going to set it up. Amos chapter 9 says he will repair its damages and raise up its ruins. God specializes in dealing with the damages. Now, James is quoting Amos, and he's quoting it to Pharisees who could probably quote the book of Amos like it's the back of their hand. He's starting with something that they are familiar with, and it's dealing with it from a Jewish perspective. God says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to rebuild everything that's fallen down, everything that is damaged, everything that is destroyed. I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to set it up. And I don't know about you, when I hear about things that are going to be done on my behalf, I'm like, amen, so be it. Let it, praise God, glory be to the Lamb. You know, I'm all for that. And then James, he's quoted all of that, and this is what it says in Acts 15, verse number 17, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Remember, that's how we got into this study in the first place. We were going through the Sermon on the Mount. We spent a long time in the Beatitudes, and then we got into chapter 6, and we worked through chapter 6, and then we came to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And here James steps up to the plate, and he says, the reason that God was operating in the Jewish people in a reconstructive and restorative manner was so that everybody, Jew and Gentile, the rest of mankind, would seek the Lord. That's what it says. I don't know if you have ever had the experience like I have. I read the Bible a lot. I've probably read through the scriptures. I'm going to say read through the entire Bible somewhere between 100 and 200 times. I don't keep track. New Testament, probably over 200 times easily. Old Testament, I'm going to say probably over 100 times. And even after reading all of that in multiple translations, every once in a while, I'll say, where'd that verse come from? How have I missed that all of these decades? And when James says, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, all of a sudden, the focus gets off of the Jewish believer's self-centeredness, and it shifts the focus to the rest of the world. If you want your world to shrink, if you want to become more miserable, become self-absorbed. Only focus on yourself. Don't ever think about anybody else. Don't ever think about reaching out or being a blessing to someone. You just become completely self-absorbed as an individual, a company, or a church, or a society. When anything becomes exclusively self-focused, darkness is getting ready to come in, and decrease will happen, not increase. We were meant to be touching the world. Jesus said, go into all the world. Go and make disciples. And so there is that essence where we cannot help ourselves but to go and say, you know, Jesus has done a great work in my life. Praise God. He's done that work in my life so that other people will seek the Lord. Okay? The aha moment continues. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. If you remember, this started because there were people that said, you went into the house of a Gentile. You went in, you crossed the threshold into someone's house that you should have never gone into. And Peter said, yeah, the Holy Spirit opened the door and pushed me through it. And when I got inside, the Holy Spirit began to minister to people's lives. And he saved them and filled them with the Holy Ghost. And they were baptized. Oh, well, we've got to make them like us. And now they're saying, look, we're not called to cause people to be drawing back into a stale relationship that not even we could keep. God has done this refreshing. He's poured out his Holy Spirit upon us on the day of Pentecost because he wants to reach these people all around the world. And there are people who do not share our DNA background who today are called by the name of the Lord because they share our spiritual DNA. And so the reason that we do the Fire Bible discipleship thing is I heard about it. I was intrigued by it. And one day I was in prayer, and God said, you know, I used that study Bible around the world, wherever missionaries go, so that people can be trained to reach their communities. I think I could probably use it here in America. You think America could use a few people to be saved? And I was like, you know what, God, I want people to be grounded in the Word of God. And so that's how come we started it. And our church has responded in a wonderful way. I believe there are people in Brevard County who do not look like me, do not talk like me, do not have the same background to me, don't fit into any of the categories that I fit in, other than I'm living and I'm breathing, but God wants them to be called by His name. And verse number 17 concludes with this: says the Lord who does all these things. God said, I'm coming back. I'm going to return. And He does all those things. I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle which has fallen down, because God does all those things. He says, I'm going to repair what's damaged and repair the ruins. And God does all those things. He says, I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to set it up so that the rest of mankind will seek the Lord. And I will tell you, it's the Lord who does all those things. Even the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. I look back on my life. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. There were times in my life when I didn't have any idea what God was doing. There was a time in my life where I was broken. I was hurting. I needed healing that I didn't know that I needed. And I thought I was being punished. I thought I was being set up on the shelf. And what I didn't realize was that God was doing a work in me that I didn't know that I needed to have done. I look back at everything. I look back at the things that I said yay and amen to. And I look back at the things I said, Jesus, help me. I look back at the things and said, God, what in the world are you doing? And I see that behind every one of those, the master builder, the master repairman, was at work ordering my steps and directing my path. And He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't just do that for Bob. He does that for every believer. Today, God orders your steps. He didn't just know the prophet Jeremiah in his womb. He didn't just know me in my mother's womb. He knew you from before you ever took your first breath. You were created on purpose for His purpose, so that He could work in you. And just like James quotes, it is so that people from everywhere may seek the Lord. Be a testimony of the grace of God today. And when people ask you why, you say it's all because of Jesus. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.